before the pastor gets up and speaks to us, I just want to introduce him again. Pastor Steve Glidden. If you looked in your bulletin, he actually kind of gave us a resume of where he's been and what he's done. We couldn't get it all in the bulletin, but he's currently helping out the Indiana Conference with some of its smaller churches, and his home church is in Columbus, just because it's close to Nineveh. But he's helping in Columbus, Bloomington, North Vernon, and Seymour, and probably more that I don't know about. And he came to us from the Tectris Conference and is retired. So you just remember that when you get ready to retire, there's still a lot of work to do. Pastor.
Good morning, Shelbyville Church.
Good morning.
And a warm welcome to those that are listening to us on the radio this morning. I hope that one day soon that you will come here and share worship service here in the church with us. Is there any, besides me, are there any other visitors here this morning? Charlie and I are the only, okay, we have three visitors, counting Charlie and I. Good. Let's have a brief prayer, shall we? Father, we ask now for the next few minutes that you clear our hearts and our minds as we open your word. Share with us your divine wisdom and knowledge. Help us to receive this word in a way that will benefit us greatly, that we can leave this place and go forward this next week with the love of Jesus on our hearts. In his name we ask, amen. Well, today's sermon topic really is pretty simple. It answers a question that we have not asked yet. And that question is, why am I here and what am I supposed to be doing? As a teenager, I look around and I think there's probably a couple of you maybe that were there with me. In 1960, I was a teenager. Anybody else a teenager in the 60s? Okay, a few. So, you know, that was a very tumultuous time, not really unlike what we're experiencing today. Some of the things that I remember specifically, it was the, in our lifetime, we witnessed hopefully not only the first but the last assassination of our president of this great country. We witnessed finally, after about 14 or 15 years of winding down of a terrible war in Southeast Asia, we witnessed a lot of our youth that were striving at that time to answer the question, who am I and what am I doing here? Some of them went about that in strange ways. I'll leave out the year, but during the 60s, let's put it that way, during the 60s, a lot of young people were expressing themselves in ways that seemed odd to our parents. I have to leave myself out of the most part of that because the majority of that time I was in the military. But nonetheless, people were driving around in Volkswagen buses with flowers painted all over them, and girls were wearing flowers in their hair, and it was all about sex and drugs and rock and roll and leaving society behind and going and starting a commune and living together and having our own rules, doing all the things that we wanted to do so we could live and find out who we are and what were we doing here. Sadly, I don't recall a lot of people turning to God to find those answers. There were some people that used to hang out in the airports. They wore long white robes and they had shaved heads. See, a lot of people with shaved heads today, they just don't wear the long white robes. The Hare Krishnas, and people thought those people have the answer. It's all about the cosmic force. And the cosmic force will let us know who we are and what we're supposed to be doing here. Well, some would follow anyone. And I want to fast forward now to today. I think there are still some today that would follow anyone that purports to have that answer. Back then, of course, there were untold numbers of people that followed a guy named Jim Jones to Africa and drank poison Kool-Aid because he told them it was the right thing to do. But I didn't hear anybody asking God if it was the right thing to do. All the time, the answer that we're asking, that we were asking in the 60s, that we're asking in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, now the 21st century, and some of us are asking today, who am I and what am I doing here? A lot of people, unfortunately, teenagers and young people then, and teenagers and young people today, tried to find the answer through drugs and alcohol. There's an insidious drug problem among us today that people thought 40 years ago was long since gone. Does anyone know what the cheapest, best form of recreational drug is today? Heroin. Heroin. And alcohol. We have more young people drinking alcohol today than ever before. And I can tell you, regardless of your age, young or old, all of these worldly pleasures and these so-called fixes that we've talked about will last for a short while, but they won't last for very long. And if you're someone that has a problem with one of these substances today, particularly alcohol, which is a substance that I battled with for many years of my life, I can tell you that no matter how much you drink, you will always find the bottle of the bottom of the bottle empty and dry. You might be able to hide it from your parents, your friends, your co-workers for a while. If your friends are encouraging you, I suspect that you should soon find out that they're not your friends. You can keep it from those around you, but you cannot keep it from God. So what is the purpose of our life? I believe that the Holy Scripture that God has given us through 44 different authors and 66 books is simply to do God's will. That's why we're here. It's to live out my life and plant seeds to give others the hope that I have. That's the commission that we've been given, isn't it? To share the hope that we have with others. Psalm 37, verse 23 says, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives." Did you hear that? He directs the steps of the godly, and he delights in every detail of their lives, every single detail. So look to God, try to live your life in his will, and he'll show you who you are. He'll tell you what your purpose is and what he'd like for you to do. Not long ago, I read a book by Max Lucado. It's called Outlive Your Life. Has any of you read that book by any chance? It's a great book. I would highly recommend it. What do you suppose that book, Outlive Your Life, is about? It's about doing God's will. It's about doing things that will outlive your life. It's about helping others so they can help others, so they can help others, so they can help others long after we're gone. That's the whole point of the book, and there's some amazing things in the book. I really highly recommend it if you're a reader. I have the good fortune of living with a lady that taught school for 41 years, and she reads more books in a month than I've probably read in my entire life. But it is a good read if you're a book reader. I'd like for us to go back. If you're at home listening, if you're here and you have your Bibles with you, you want to turn to Psalm 33. I'd like for us to take a look at the scripture reading we had this morning. It kind of sets the stage for the rest of the message. Psalm 33, and start in verse 10. Now, I'm reading this from the NIV. You may have a different version. I've read a couple. It's similar, but there are some small differences in them. But the NIV verse 10 says, "The Lord foils the plans of nations, thwarts the purposes of the peoples." If you think about that, what's that telling us? Right off the bat, what's that telling us? The Lord foils the plans of nations and thwarts the purposes of the peoples. His will be done. It doesn't matter what anybody else's will is. God's will be done. Verse 11 says, "But the plans of the Lord stands firm." For how long? Forever. "The purposes of his heart through all generations." Again, the plans that God has set in motion, he will bring to fruition. God's purposes will be met. Verse 12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance." Praise God for that. Amen. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That's not just talking about America. That's not just talking about Shelbyville. It's not just talking about Indiana. Blessed anyone. You can change the word nation to say anyone whose God is the Lord. When you became children of God through accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you became an heir to an unbelievable inheritance. Unbelievable. There's absolutely nothing that we can imagine that we could inherit that we will one day inherit. It's just beyond our imagination. Verse 13, from heaven, "The Lord looks down and sees all of mankind." 14, "From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth." If he didn't care, why would he be watching us? All of us, all the time, every day. And finally, verse 15, "He who forms the hearts of" who? "All who considers everything they do." God considers every little tiny thing that you do. There isn't anything that you can't do, that you can do, that will get past his sight and past his blessing if you give him the chance. The amazing thing is, he leaves it all up to you. Whether you get a blessing or not, whether you let him be the rule of your life, whether you allow him to work in every single little detail of your life every single day. If you don't get another thing out of this message this morning, I pray that you will get this. If you let him, God will control every detail of your life, big and small, if you let him. If you open your heart God will put you in positions and situations where you can make, where he can make a difference through you in others and the lives of others. So you say, well, yeah, I get that, but I'm not sure that I'm really equipped to deal with this. I'm not sure that's my gift. You know, I hear God talking to me. I see the circumstances God puts me in, but I'm just not sure that I'm equipped to do that. God will never ask you to do anything that he will not equip you to do. When I first started preaching, someone whom I had a great deal of respect for, early on, I started getting the feeling that I might have missed the boat. I might have misunderstood God. Maybe that really wasn't what he had in mind for me. Because I was struggling a bit, and this person told me, was someone in the Texas conference, he told me, he said, Steve, let me tell you something. He said, God seldom ever calls those that are qualified, but he always qualifies those he calls. So just trust God. When God puts you in a circumstance and you don't know what to say, trust the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you what to say. Any time that you're in a situation that you're not sure what to do, that you're not sure whether you're qualified to handle the situation, if it involves God, God will help you through that situation. Let's take a look. Let's think just a few minutes, about some of the people that did amazing things that theoretically and according to themselves weren't qualified to do what they did. Let's think about a guy that was asked to build a boat bigger than anything we can even visualize right this minute. To prepare for a flood that was going to come. So here's an old guy. Not by today's standards, but here's an old guy that says, okay, I got you, I'm going to do this. So it took him a little over 100 years to build a boat that would save people and animals from a flood in a place where it had never rained. I just can't imagine the faith that Noah had. And you know, people made fun of him, and for 120 years people made fun of him. And he built this ark exactly like God told him to do it. And I dare say that if Noah would have just decided one day, you know what, it might rain one day, I think I'll build a big boat, so if it does, we'll survive the flood. I don't believe that he could have ever built something as comprehensive as the ark. The only way that he did that was through God and the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at somebody else. He called a man that had been raised with the best of everything, had the best education that you could imagine at the time, who became a murderer, got scared and ran away, and spent 40 years in the wilderness herding sheep. And this is a guy that God called to deliver the children of Israel out of slavery. And you remember what he initially said? Well, no, I think you've got the wrong guy. I don't talk very good, and I don't think I'm your guy. I don't think I can do this. There's a lot of things we could talk about that he did, but one of the things that stands out in my mind is when God was talking to him, he said, throw down your staff. And he threw down his staff. And you remember what happened to it? Turned into a snake. God said, now pick it up by the tail. And he reached down and he picked it up and it was his staff again. That'd do it for me. I'm on your side now. You just tell me what you need me to do and we'll get her done. God called a young teenage virgin that had never been with a man to give birth to the Savior of the world. God called 12 fishermen that didn't really know. Well, they weren't all fishermen. Some of them were fishermen, but he called 12 men that really didn't know a lot about anything. They weren't brilliant men. The fishermen in particular, the only thing they knew was fishing. These were just average, run-of-the-mill, barely educated persons that God called to lead the world to Christianity at Pentecost. And finally, on the road to Damascus, God humbled one of the most acutely educated people, powerful people in the world, who thought his mission was to kill Christians in the name of God. And on the road to Damascus, he had a meeting with that God, didn't he? And his life was never the same. And I dare say he spent a few days in blindness, in what the Bible often calls fear and trembling. And then along came Ananias. We can spend the rest of the morning talking about people that were unqualified to do what God called them to do. But he did call them to do it, and he gave them the tools to get it done. Did any of the people that we've talked about this morning fail? No. Because it was God's plan and God's purpose. He's hope for the hopeless. He heals the sick. He even wants to carry your burdens. When you get overloaded and you just don't think you can take another step, he's right there, got his hands out, said, here, give it to me. Give me your burdens. Take mine. Mine's light and easy. I'll take your heavy burdens. Whatever hurt or trouble that you have in your heart this morning, you can bring it to Jesus. And you come just as you are. He doesn't expect any preparation. You don't have to do anything special. Just bring it to him. Don't try to get it right first. Don't think, before I can give my life to Jesus, I got to clean up my act. Because I've been on the wrong road way too long. Just give me a little time. Let me get a little better. Let me get cleaned up. Then I'll think about it. just bring it. Bring it to the foot of the cross and lay it right there. And let go and let God. Four little words that are huge. Let go and let God. Let Him deal with it so you can move on to more important things like fulfilling His purpose and fulfilling His will. He wants to take all this other stuff away because that's what we're here to do. Who am I? I'm a child of God. And why am I here? I'm here to do His will and to spread the good news and to share the hope with everyone that there's eternal life because of Jesus Christ. We're all born of sin. We're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that. It's not a secret. God knows we're sinners. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. He just expects us to try. He expects us to give our life to the one person that can provide that for us. We need to never forget God's goodness. God forgives our sins and then forgets about them. What the Word says, what it told me, it said, give it to God. He'll not only forgive you, He'll forget all about it. It's not important anymore. He offers us redemption and eternal life through the death of His only Son on a cross in Calvary. How many of us would offer up one of our children to save humanity? It's a special thing that God offers us. And there's very little that we have to do to accept it. But He just leaves the choice up to us. We can accept salvation through Jesus. And we can accept all these wondrous things that God has in store for us. Or we can choose not to. Some of us will say, well, I know, and I know I need to do that one of these days. I'm going to. Well, we're running out of one of these days. I'll stand before you this morning and be honest with you. It took me 50 years. I experienced something at the age of 9 that caused me to be angry with God. I lost my daddy and I couldn't understand why. And I spent the next 41 years of my life, wasted the next 41 years of my life being angry with God. Until one day, a good friend of mine gave me this. And he said, Steve, I think it's time you spent some time in this book. And I looked at it and I said, wow, that's got my name on the front and everything. He said, yep, that's my gift to you. And that's all he said. He didn't pressure me. He didn't hound me. And I took it home and slid it in there in the bookshelf so it looked real nice. One day I came home and now I know why. Then I didn't know why. But I came home and I took this book off the shelf. And I apologize for those of you that are listening on the radio this morning. I'm talking about the Bible that I just held up. I took this Bible off the shelf and I sat down and I just opened it up. I opened it up to the book of Mark. And I started reading, and I thought, wow, this guy's talking to me. You know, he was talking mostly to the Romans. So he was already talking to people that were a little on the shaky side when it came to accepting Christianity. And I started reading, and I started reading, and 17 years later, the rest is history. What I can tell you is, it does not matter how you've sinned, what you've sinned, or how long you've sinned. God will forgive you. And He will make your life unimaginable. So I'm going to ask you this morning to surrender yourself right here and right now to God. I don't really care if you've ever given to your life to Jesus yet or not. If you haven't, I pray that you will. Maybe you have. Maybe you feel like you've just messed it up. And you've kind of fallen away and things aren't like they used to be. Well, let me assure you of something. God's a God of second chances. And He's a God of third chances. And as long as you want Him in your life, He'll be there. God never turns away from you. You may turn away from Him, but He never turns away from you. There aren't many more tomorrows. There's not a lot of time to wait. And you need to take a step now before it's too late. Scripture tells us that when Jesus comes back, it'll be like a thief in the night. We don't know when that's going to be. Might be tonight. Might be this afternoon. Might be tomorrow. We don't know. Jesus' own words are, there's only one person that knows, and that's the Father. We have to be ready. So, in closing this morning, I'd like to pray for everybody that wants to do God's will, wants to fulfill God's purpose, and either claim or reclaim Him as your Savior and Redeemer. Would everyone stand, please, with me? And I'd like to ask everyone to bow your head, to close your eyes, and to pray with me silently. And I want to take just a minute of silence so we can prepare our hearts and our minds. Dear Heavenly Father, Creator of all things good, I cannot do this alone. I need a Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Help me to change. Sanctify me so that one day I might be glorified in your eyes. I accept Jesus Christ as your only Son that you sent to pay my sin debt, to die on the cross for me, as my Lord and Savior right here and right now. He justified me on the cross. Now I need to be sanctified. I need to be changed. I'm willing to start that process right here and right now, so that one day I will stand before you in my Savior Jesus Christ's robe of righteousness and be glorified in your eyes. In his name I ask this prayer.